Good singing this morning, and we appreciate these songs for the young people and also for Kenny and Della singing for us today. And I was thinking as Kenny and Della was coming up here that it's about time for Kenny to preach for us. Amen. And we appreciate our brother. And I appreciate his wisdom and knowledge that the Lord has blessed him with. And so we're looking forward to him preaching for us. He knows he has an open invitation anytime that the Lord lays it upon his heart to stand for us and preach. But I think tonight would be a good time for him to stand, don't y'all?
Amen.
Amen. By popular demand, I think he ought to come preach for us tonight. But we'll let him work that out with the Lord. But we would love to have him to be able to stand for us. I appreciate the men of God that have stood by the word over the years and not wavered, but have been there. And Kenny, the Lord has blessed with a great knowledge of the Lord's word. And I appreciate him today with all of our heart. In the Bible, in the book of John is where we'll be reading from this morning, in the 21st or 20th chapter rather. While you open your Bibles there to John, the 20th chapter. And this has been up on our hearts, and we want to try to preach what God has given to us today, that it would go out, search out the hearts. Because, church, we got folks with us this morning that God knows exactly where they're at. He knows exactly what they stand in need of. And he knows that we have folks that are lost amongst us. If there's any time or anything that we ought to be praying for, it's for those that are lost.
Amen.
Every one of us that's saved, we are all going to have to go through troubles and trials. We're all going to have ups and downs. We're going to be faced with many different things in our life. But if the Lord sees fit for us to leave this life, we're all headed to a better place. But for those that die without God, the Bible says that there is no better place for them. It's only a place of torments that they'll be going to. So would you pray for us for a few minutes today? In the book of John, in the 20th chapter, if you'd like to stand for the reading of God's word, go with us down, starting at verse 19, reading down through and including verse 25. In verse 19, it says this: "Then at the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them unto his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent it, even so send I you. And when he had thus said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." But listen at this next verse. "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe." And stop reading there with verse 25, and you can be seated in the house of the Lord. I'd like to use this morning for a text: what will it take for you to believe? What will it take for you to believe? The Bible teaches us that Jesus had risen from the dead. And he is alive, is he not, church? Some of you were still reading. I said, he is alive, is he not, church? One thing that we ought to know for sure is that Jesus is alive. And we ought to be able to praise him for that fact. But when Jesus appeared unto them, and he showed unto them his hand and his side, the Bible says that the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. They were glad when they saw him because this is exactly what he told them. Before he was crucified, he said that the Son of Man will be betrayed and will be crucified. But he did not leave them with that bad news. But he said, but after 3 days, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, he said, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. But after 3 days, he will rise again and be seen amongst you. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus came there to where they were assembled. He showed them his hands. He showed them his side. And they were happy that they saw him. He had to show them his hands and his side so that they would believe that it was him and not somebody else that looked like him. Or that it even, as the scripture says, that it might have even been a ghost. But this was the Lord in his body after the resurrection that came there and showed them that it was he. And they were rejoicing because of this. And he talked with them and gave them the power after he breathed on them, saying, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He told them that you can go out and you can forgive sins and you can remit sins, but that's not what we want to preach about this morning. We want to preach from verses 24 and 25 when it says that everyone was gathered there and those that was gathered believed upon the Lord, but there was one that wasn't in the midst, a disciple by the name of Thomas, called Didymus, who wasn't there. And when Didymus heard them speak about what they had saw, he said, except I see and I touch the I see the prints in his hands and I put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand inside, I will not believe. If had he been there, he would have saw for himself. But he said, since I wasn't, and really what he was doing was he was doubting their word. Unless I see it for myself, I will not believe that Jesus is alive. And I want to use this background of a mess for the message that what would it take for you to believe? Every one of us was a Thomas in our life. Every one of us had doubt about whether Jesus was alive or not. And even so much that there are folks, even in our congregation this morning, that still doubt whether Jesus is alive and still don't believe wholly upon His Word and upon His works at Calvary and upon His resurrection. And I began to, the Lord pondered in my heart, I began to think about what is it going to take for some of our people to believe. And you remember back in the book of Luke when the scripture tells us about the rich man that was there and he and Lazarus had died. And the Bible says that the rich man, in being found in hell, he did not doubt then, church. He believed in God. He believed upon Jesus Christ. But he remembered that he had five brethren back in yonder's world. And he said, it's too late for me, but can you get to my five brethren? Just send Lazarus back to my five brethren to warn them not to come to this awful place. What he was looking to try to do is persuade his five brethren to believe upon the Lord. And the Bible says that Abraham told them, let them hear Moses and the prophets. What he was saying is that they have the law, they have the word, they have the Bible. If you'll have it this morning, you have a Bible. We all, this is the most published book that there is in the world. But just because we have a Bible and you have a Bible does not mean that you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. You can believe upon the Word. You can believe in going to church. You can believe that there is a God. But unless you believe upon Jesus Christ, all that other stuff will not get you saved. It takes believing upon Him. The Bible tells us that Abraham said unto them that they will not, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, hear meaning that if they will not believe Moses and the prophets, then they will not believe one though he be risen from the dead. And he was talking about sending Lazarus back to his five brethren. Folks, today I've thought about this week, and many of us have got loved ones that's gone on. There's many elders that's gone on. Many of the prophets that's already gone on. But folks, if they will not believe the Word of God, if they will not believe the Spirit as it moves in the midst of the grand old church, the Bible says that they would not even believe one, though they be risen from the dead. Though one of the ancestors may come back, they would not believe them any more than what they will believe the Word of God today. The rich man was worried about his five brethren believing. And folks, how many of us have got family and friends and neighbors and co-workers that I'm worried whether they'll believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ? I appreciate the church and I appreciate what God has done for us, but as we see in this end time that we're living in, that many of folks in the church are praying for God just to send the Son to come and get the church and take her out of this sin-filled world, I'm reminded of those that still do not believe. And I pray, Lord, would you tarry your coming one more day, yet another day, that our people, which are still not believing upon you, that they might be saved before it's too late. And not just the Lord coming, but how many of you know that we have an appointment that we cannot break? That appointment is coming every day. Ott and I was talking about before church about his brother and about his nephew. And folks, you don't have to be old to die. You don't have to be sick or diagnosed with some cancerous problem in order to die. The testimony of Brother Jim and that young man that he testified about, that we could just get out of a car and try to walk in the house and fall over dead and doomed for all eternity. But church, as I preach this message this morning, everyone that's a believer, would you raise your hand for me this morning? You know what happens to believers when they die, when it comes time for them to leave? We're just promoted out of this valley. We're promoted out of this hillside. We're promoted onto a place that is better than this world could have. I enjoy living, don't you, this morning? I enjoy life. I enjoy everything that God has given to me. But there is nothing that I have enjoyed like I'm going to enjoy heaven when I get there. In fact, I want to preach to you this morning. When you get there and you hear some maniac running around and just screaming and hollering and shouting to the top of their lungs, don't be surprised if it's not me today, because I've got a lot of praise to give to the one who saved my dying soul. And the only reason why he saved me this morning and all these that are saved over you is that we believed upon the work of Jesus Christ. The moment you believe, you shall be saved today. The Bible says that also. I thought about many folks that they had unbelief, and I believe that we've got folks that are with us this morning that are right at the edge of believing. They know about Jesus. They know about His Word. They know how good that church and God has been to their family in the past, whether it be mother or father, whether it be brother or sister or some loved one. They know that the reality that they need to know Jesus Christ in a free pardon of sin. But my mind went back to Zacchaeus in the book of Luke in the 19th chapter. And you remember that the Bible says that Zacchaeus must have had some interest in the Lord, and you must have interest. I believe it just like this. People say, well, Pastor, I've already sinned away my days of grace. I believe that those that's already sinned away their days of grace, they'll have no interest to ever go to church. They'll have no interest to ever open a book and begin to read it. They'll have no interest in trying to see their loved ones do right, live right, and get right once that has happened. But you remember Zacchaeus, he climbed up a sycamore tree so that he might just see the Lord passed by his way. He believed upon all that he had heard about Jesus do, but It was not enough for him to be excited about the miracles that he'd heard Jesus perform. So one day when he was passing by, Zacchaeus climbed up a sycamore tree and he went up there and he just wanted to see the Lord as he passed by his way. But Zacchaeus might have been at the edge of believing and trusting his life unto Jesus Christ. But when the Lord passed by his way, he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must abide at your house today." And Zacchaeus could have stayed up in the tree, but instead he come down and he took the Lord home with him. Amen. Folks, you don't have to stay up in the tree. You don't have to be a bystander. You can get in this thing this morning and take the Lord home with you. How many of you remember when you took the Lord home with you today? And folks, it's not just remembering that you took the Lord home with you. I'm glad that He still lives in my house today. People say, "Well, you live over there in Kentucky." I'm not talking about the house that is built out of two befores and all that stuff. I'm talking about this house today. He moved in, he bound up that strong man and cast him out, and praise God, what the Lord... See, some folks I think might be able to believe upon Jesus Christ, but they say, "If I could just live that life..." I cannot live the life of a Christian. Can I preach this morning? But praise God, there is somebody down on the inside that makes me want to live right, makes me want to do right and talk right. You say, "Well, if I'd known a preacher was like this, I'd found a different church this morning to go to." I will not lie to you today. There is no one that is able to live the Christian life without the help of God residing in them. Anybody that will tell you that they can live the Christian life without God is a lie sent straight from hell and destruction. And that is what's wrong with our pulpits and our churches today. People don't want to preach the truth. I say, just preach the word and let God judge the hearts and convince you that He is Lord today. Zacchaeus said, "I can't believe all, but when the Lord called His name..." Can I slow down for a minute? I remember having the same thing Zacchaeus did. I wanted to see it, but I couldn't believe it. But how many of you like me remember when the Lord called your name? On that day, whether it's Tara and them sing that song for us every once in a while, some it was on a Monday, some it was on a Tuesday, some a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. But I remember when the Lord called my name, I had a choice. I could sit right there where I was at and say, "I don't believe," but I declare to you the best thing I ever did do in my life was when I stepped out saying, "I believe upon the Lord and I'm going to ask Him to save my dying soul." Can I preach this morning? It didn't take a month of seminary. It didn't take a month of classes. It didn't take the deacons taking me in the back room to convince me. All it took was the Lord to call my name, and I was convinced there is a higher power that is able to save me and to keep me from going to a place called hell and destruction. The Bible also says in the book of John in the 3rd chapter that there was a man that was by the name of Nicodemus that he could not understand when the Lord told him that you must be born again. Nicodemus saying to the Lord, "I am an old man. How can I enter back into my mother's womb a second time?" And the Lord was, Nicodemus was looking at it on the flesh side. The Lord said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit today." He may not have understood it, and I'll just be open with you again today. I do not understand all that is between these two leather bounds this morning. Now, I was just like Nicodemus. I don't know how. now. I can just go to an altar believing upon Jesus and the Lord will save me. I don't know why he would do it. I don't know how he would do it. But Nicodemus, once he got past looking at it on a carnal side, you know what we find? The scripture in the third chapter of the book of John does not tell us if Nicodemus received the Lord, if he fully received him. But if you go over here in the book of John, in the 18th chapter, Nicodemus was one of the men. You remember Joseph of Arimathea begged the body of Jesus and they gave him to him. You know who was there helping Joseph with 100 pounds of myrrh and frankincense or spices to prepare the body of Christ? Here was Nicodemus today. If he was not a believer, he would have not have been there. But Kenny A. Banks, I think I can preach this morning that Nicodemus, after he talked with the Lord, he surrendered his will to Christ and Christ saved him, and he was there at the time when he died. Thank you, Jim. The Bible also says, as we preached on Wednesday night, that the Bible says in the book of Acts in the 26th chapter that King Agrippa, after Paul got done preaching to him. Folks, let me tell you, before you can ever believe, you've got to hear the preached word of Jesus Christ. Oh, let me go there for a minute, if you will, this morning, church. I don't believe in just going to a church or having somebody knock upon your door and you signing a card and everything is all right between you and God. I don't believe in you going to a church and the deacon's taking you in the back room and talking to you and everything is all right. I don't believe in you going up and a preacher telling you some words to pray and then everything will be all right. You know what I do believe in is old time Holy Ghost filled preaching from the Word of God. That's what set up conviction in my heart. People talk about the new way and all the things that we ought to be doing as a church and as churches in order to get people in. You know what I believe in? I believe in letting them come to the house of God and letting the Spirit entertain them. The Spirit of God will take you to places that entertainment cannot get you to this morning. It will give you things this morning. How many of you come? I got to preach today for a few minutes more. How many of you come with burdens today upon your heart and burden for those that are lost and undone? You know what? When we come in here with a heavy burden and we just say, Lord, I can't go another mile. Lord, I can't do anymore. I've done all that I can. If we will just believe upon the name of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm not able. But I've seen you work in the past. I know that you're able. Do you believe today that God is able to do that which you have need of in your life today? I've got to find a closing place here in a minute. But the Bible says that Paul preached unto him Jesus, and King Agrippa and Festus was there, and Festus said, Paul, much learning has made you mad. But Paul, church, if I can use my text on Wednesday night, Paul said, I know what I'm talking about. I'm not making this up. This thing was not done in a corner, but it was done openly that all men might see that Jesus is the Christ today. And King Agrippa, after Paul got done preaching, he said, almost you make me believe. You say, well, he says, the scripture says, almost I believe. Thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What Paul's, King Agrippa was saying, I almost believe. Paul said unto him, I wish that you was not almost, but I believe, but I wish that you was just like me, except for these bonds that I'm in. This morning, those of you that don't know Jesus Christ, you know what this church wants for you? We want you to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what your loved ones want for you? Then I know Thanksgiving is coming and Christmas is right around the corner. But moms and dads, husbands and wives, for grandmas and grandpas, I've covered everybody, but I believe I have. The greatest gift that anybody could give to us is if they would give us the phone call, or maybe come to the house, or maybe even in the midst of a service, is saying that I I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. Help me preach this morning. I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. Now, mom and dad, husband or wife, you don't have to worry about me anymore. Everything is all right between me and God. There is no better gift today, church, than to receive that from your loved ones. Let me find a closing place. The Bible says in the book of Luke in the 14th chapter that there was two disciples. I believe that this matches a lot of our people. You can go over even to the book of Matthew, go back and you can find the same thing about Mary. When Mary was outside the tomb after they had buried Jesus Christ, or even here in the book of John, I should say, in the 20th chapter, you can find the same thing about her and the gardener as you can find over in the book of Luke in the 14th chapter when it says that there was two disciples that had left and they was on their road to Emmaus. And the Bible said that they was talking about the events and there came another person into the conversation and they was sorrowful in spirit. And they said that the question was, what is wrong, if I could paraphrase, what has got you so down? And they said, friend, have you not heard what they did to Jesus? Have you not heard that they crucified him? But the next thing you know, he began to speak to him more openly. And they recognized his voice. Anybody else recognize the voice of the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. And the Bible says that Mary stood outside of the tomb of Jesus and she was there and she was carrying on a conversation thinking that it was the gardener. And the next thing you know, he spoke to her and said, it's not a gardener that's talking to you. It's the Lord that is talking to you. Folks, he is talking to you this morning and the best thing you can do is just don't recognize it. Can I come to a close this morning? I remember when I was under conviction, I made it up that it was everything else but the Lord that was talking to me. I made it up that it was my conscience that was talking to me for things that I had done wrong. I made it up that it was just something that mom and daddy or the church had set by my way that was bothering me. But then when I fully come to the recognition that it's not just my conscience that's talking to me, it's not just being in church that's talking to me, but there is a higher power than mom or dad that's talking to me right now. That's when I realized I did not have to die and go to hell, but I could have salvation because I truly believed upon the Lord. And when you believe, the Bible says you shall receive. You'll receive it this morning. I have a request for Robin Sharon. Because this is the way that the Lord laid upon my heart. They sing a song and I don't know what the title is, but it's one prayer away. I want them to come this morning to sing this song in this time of invitation right now. Because there are folks that you have pondered it upon your heart, upon your life, maybe this week or this past week or maybe even at times past, that you know that there is a God that is in heaven above. You know that there was a man called Jesus Christ that walked upon the face of this earth. You know that they crucified him. And you know that the Bible says that on the third day he got up from the dead. And he ascended back to the Father 40 days later to make intercession for you and I. You know that there's things that's missing in your life even this morning. You may have had a great life. You may have a great life that God has blessed you with. You've been able to provide for your family. You've been able to have all the things that you have need of. Sure, you've had your share of heartaches. The only thing that is missing in your life right now is to proclaim that Jesus is Lord, not just of the world, not just of mom and dad's church, not just of this church, but declare that Jesus is Lord in my life. Profess Him and you shall receive the Lord today. Would you stand while they sing a verse of a song?
What would
listen at this. What would it take for you to believe?
To make you believe.
What will it take this morning, mom and dad? Young man or woman, what would it take for you to fully believe upon the Lord? What's it going to take for you to surrender to God and be saved?
If he would reach down,
what will it take
today?
for you to fully trust in His name. You say, I love to believe. If you will just search out your heart, you will find that salvation is only one step away. One step this morning. You can receive Him today. What's it going to take for you to believe? I'm going to ask them to pause for just a minute. Later in this same chapter, in verses 30 and 31, in verse 30, the Bible says, "And many other signs did Jesus do in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book." Everywhere Jesus went, He was healing folks. He was giving sight to the blind. He was helping those that were lame to walk, for the crippled to be able to get up and run. He was giving to those that were mute the ability to speak. For the deaf ears, He unstopped them. And for those that were hungry, He fed them. Oh, praise His holy name. Everywhere He went, He was performing a miracle for somebody. He's performed miracles for you and I today. I am a recipient of the miracles that Jesus performed when He walked upon the face of this earth. And you know why I can say that? Because the Bible says in verse 31 that these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that through believing, you might have life through His name. Everyone that saw the miracles and believed, you know what they did, Wayne? They went down the road and they told somebody else. Oh, you remember that little bond girl that was back there in Syria when the captain of Syria came down with leprosy? She said, "You know what? If you could just get over there to the man of God, I know that he can make you whole." Everyone that saw the miracles that Jesus did, they went down the road and told somebody else. What you have need of, what your children, what your family has need of. I saw a man in Jerusalem the other day. If you could just get to him, he could make your situation better. Today we're still preaching that same gospel. Because of the miracles that Jesus performed, folks, you have seen the miracles. Have you not seen the miracle when the doctors say there's very little time left and then God show up? And those days turned into months and years. Have you not seen the miracle when the doctors in a hospital would say, "You need to go get your cemetery plot ready because time is coming to an end." And then God, through the church, would begin to speak. And God would restore days, give them days, even on top of days. Have you not seen the miracle when they said, "Brother Ott, that they'll never walk again." And the next day you know, they're up and they're walking around. When the news comes that you might as well accept the state where they're at because it's not going to get any better. I've seen the church begin to pray. God move on behalf of the church. And God would touch them. Brother Russell, if I could share this, Charlene, and I'm not sharing this for worldly sorrow, because the Bible says that worldly sorrow only worketh a repentance today that will do no good for you whatsoever. But a godly sorrow will work repentance that needed not to be repented of. He was praying that God would just take him on home, Terry. But then he said that the Lord spoke to him and said, "Change your prayer." 3 weeks later, He's no longer confined to a bed requiring 24-hour watching. Now he's able to get up and walk about, able to take care of himself to a certain point. He's better now than he was years ago, if I can preach it like that. Folks, Jesus said, everything I did while I was here, I did it that you might believe. Can I close with this? I seen what God did for mom and dad. I seen when there was not enough food, that somehow there was enough food. I've seen it that when there was no fuel in the tank, that we didn't go cold. Dad had a way to get back and forth to work. And folks, we always had a way to get back and forth to church. You know why? Because mom and dad believed if I could just get to church. See, my brothers and sisters, it will inspire me and I'll be able to pray and God will hear. And he said he'd make a way where there seemeth not to be a way. People said, you really believe that God can do all of that? I believe he can do all that and more. When we just believe. Today, you have seen the miracles that God has performed for you and your family. How many of you today have seen miracles performed? Raise your hands. Some of you didn't raise your hands. Let me tell you what the greatest miracle of all is. Is when the Lord saved our dying souls. Now, how many of you have seen miracles done in your lifetime? I'm going to ask you that are non-believers to step out believing because of what you have seen God do for your family, for your friends, for all those around you that you've seen God work in. I'm going to ask you to step out saying by this, I believe in the Lord. I believe in Jesus Christ and I believe that He will save me if I will just step out. While they sing this next verse in chorus. Would you do that this morning?
He fed 5,000.
Goes right with that scripture.
And he opened up blinded eyes. He gave
yes.
the dead.
Would you trust him today?
Life again.
How about you, mom and dad? Young man or woman? If you have never believed upon Him and asked Him to save your dying soul, would you step out right now? Step out and come. This church will pray with you. Follow your heart. Would you do that? Not for me, not for this church, but for yourselves. Pray and ask God to save you today.
Your miracle is
yes. What will it take for you to believe?
If you will trust and believe, soon you'll receive
yes. This morning as we close, I want you to take this message and this song home with you. I don't know why, but God knows what we need. And I didn't even know, as many times I've heard them sing that song that it talked about in the second verse about the miracles. But you know, God put it together for you to hear this. Because You're right there with Nicodemus, if I could put it. You're right there in plain sight of what God is doing. And even Zacchaeus, you're right there in that tree, if you'll have it, and you're watching what the Lord is doing, and all you have to do is believe. And the Lord will go home with you. Seeing Zacchaeus, seeing all those people that was taking the Lord to their house. But this day he stopped and said, Zacchaeus, I need to go to your house. Will you come down? Zacchaeus could have said, no, I'm going to stay right where I'm at. You just keep on going. And I believe that the Lord would have just kept on going. Because you see, he will not go as an intruder. He will go home with you when you invite him to your house. This morning, while these are praying, Rob and Sharon, if you would get us another song to sing, a verse and chorus, if you will. Whatever the Lord lays upon your heart. And today, I'm going to pray. Others that want to come in and pray with us today, praying that my family and my friends and your family and friends will just speak those words. Lord, will you go home with me? It would be his honor to go to your house. Moms and dads, it would be his honor to go to your children's house if they would just invite him to go home with them. Would you pray with us this morning as they sing? And people, you may not see an invitation like this, but it's still open. If you'll just receive him, you'll show, Lord, I believe in all that you have done. And I want you in my house today. While they sing and we pray. Church, if you'd like to join us in this altar, no better place to pray than right here. You that are lost, if you'd like to pray right there where you're at, you can bow your head and say, God, would you go home with me? Will you save me? The Lord will take you today and give you that gift of salvation.
Still, it was a heartache that made him cry. He gave his life so you would understand. Is there any way you could say no to this man? If Christ himself were standing here, face full of glory, eyes full of tears, and he reached out his arms with those nail-pierced hands. Is there any way you could say no to this man? How could you look into those tear-stained eyes, knowing it's you he's thinking of? Yes. Could you tell him you're not ready to give him your life? Could you say you don't think you need his love? Jesus is here with his arms open wide. You can see him with your heart if you'll stop looking with your eyes. He's left it up to you. He's done all that he can. Oh, is there any way you could say no to this man? How could you look into those tear-stained eyes, knowing it's you he's thinking of? Could you tell him you're not ready to give him your life? Could you say you don't think you need his love? Thorns on his head, your life in his hands. Is there any way you could say no to this man? Oh, is there any way you could say no to this man?
Amen. Amen and amen. How many of you, when you was under conviction, you felt like every time the preacher spoke that he was speaking to you? You remember that time? I remember in the church I got saved in that there was just a little picture up here in the front of Jesus standing at the door knocking. Anybody remember seeing those pictures in years gone by? And I remember when I was under conviction, Shirley, that it felt like no matter if I was sitting over here or if I sit over here, those eyes was looking straight at me. Times when the dove, I felt like the dove was looking straight at me. And people say, well, Roger, you got mind problems. No, I believe that when you're under conviction, it feels like everybody's just centering like there's a spotlight right over you. And there's not. What it is that, folks, we know that we believe. We just need to take that extra step and profess. Because he said, in the heart man believeth, but confession is made with the mouth. When you confess that Jesus is Lord, you're saying to the devil and all of your past, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I am no longer kept by the world, but now I am kept by a higher power. I'm kept by the Lord Himself. Because He said if I would believe and confess that He would save my dying soul. That's how simple it is this morning. I pray that you take this message and these songs home with you. And you don't have to be in church to get saved. But you do need to hear the Word. And I'm thankful for the conviction we felt in the house today. Because, see, folks, a building without conviction is not a church. But you can take a little storefront. As long as you got conviction, you've got a church. Amen. God bless you. Get you something to eat this afternoon. Get you a nap if you need it. And come back and be with us tonight at 6 o'clock. Expecting great things to happen. Brother Kenny, I believe, is going to preach for us tonight. And I said, I believe now. So if you come tonight and you're stuck with me, don't say the pastor told me wrong. But I believe Brother Kenny's going to preach for us tonight. So you come expecting great things to happen in the house of the Lord this evening. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon, and we'll see you tonight.